And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that can believe. Why would he say, if thou canst believe? I mean, why would he say to a person, if you can believe? Why would he say, if thou canst believe? Because the Bible said, all men have not faith. All men have not faith. I know the Bible said, God hath dealt unto every man a measure of faith. And when we talk about believing, you know, we term believing as faith. And just plain believing, I spoke of this the other night, it's the difference between plain believing and real, genuine faith. Now, I might say something and from time to time that you might not agree with. You know, folks say things that sometimes other folks don't agree with. But a lot of times it pays us to kind of consider. You know, if I'm having a conversation with you and you're talking with me, if we don't listen to one another, or if we don't open our minds, we're never going to be any smarter than what we already are. Of course, a lot of folks feel like they know enough already, you know. But in that we're in a world to where we can learn, we're fast learning that we can learn if we'll listen. I think one of the greatest lessons I've learned in life is that I can learn if I listen. And we're all growing, in, especially in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus under the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And if we don't listen with an open heart, we'll never know anything any more than what we already know. So when we come to a church or when we come to a place to have conversation or to make conversation, if the preacher, if he has to say everything according to the way we think and according to the way we've been taught and according to the way we want to hear and according to the way we believe, then there's no need us coming to church. Come on, folks. There ain't no need us coming to church. I mean, why should we come to church? If we already know it, we've already been taught it, we've already got it, what's the need of coming to church? As to hear him. See, because we already know what we know, and that's all we're ever going to learn. But if we are wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we're looking to try to understand, and we believe that the ministry is set in the church or the body for the perfecting of the saints, and that God has put them there that they might expound the Word of God, and that somewhere in the world there really are true men of God and true ministries, and that there is a true church of God in the earth, and that the Word of God is here, and that it's not the minister speaking, but that it is God. That when people come together to worship the Lord, that Christ Jesus is in the midst of them, and that it's not the minister speaking, but it is Christ speaking unto them. And that we are here to hear what he has to say to us, because we're his people. And we're here to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And that we are, as the Bible said, to go on to a full reward and to go on to perfection. The Bible said, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance over and over toward dead works and dead faith, but let us go on to perfection. So then as we go on, then we have to open our hearts to listen and apply ourselves that we might come to the full reward of God and the full measure of his understanding. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. But he didn't try to make himself any reputation. He became humble, even as unto a servant, even to washing of the feet of those that he loved, to give them an example. All right, so when we come together to try to listen, to understand, to learn. So that I find in my life the best thing that I can do is to listen. The Bible said, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, and the sacrifice of a fool is a foolish person will answer something before they ever hear it. You know, they come into a congregation, and a lot of times, you know, I've had this to happen. Maybe we'd have a whole house full of people and be under a tent, have a tent just filled up. Like a few days ago, I was under a tent there, and the tent was filled up, and people standing outside, and you have people that will come in, And these people, before they ever hear anything, they draw their opinion and then some of them leave. Now that's a fool. They form their opinion before they ever hear anything. Whereas we were fortunate in this particular tent meeting, we didn't have anybody. I don't know of anybody that we had to leave. But nevertheless, I do know that people will do that. But when we come together, we shouldn't do that because a man's not wise or a woman's not wise to draw an opinion before they hear. They should hear and they should take heed how that they hear. You should take heed how that you hear because Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. And he scrambles things up. And he makes you hear it wrong because you can come with the wrong attitude. And you could come with the wrong frame of mind. And you should take heed how that you hear. And when you hear, the Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. See, incorporate these things into your lifestyle. Not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And I said the other night, the Bible said, blessed are they that do the commandments of God, that they may have right to the tree of life. See, there are people that are not planning to go to heaven. They're not interested in God and the word of God and the spirit of God. They're not interested in the things of God. They are going to die, be put in a grave, they're going to rot. And it doesn't matter. They're going to live this life and be very religious and do the things that's in this world. And they're going to try to mix darkness with light. In all of their lives, they're just going to do the things of the world and be just as religious as Cain was. Go to church, but they're not going to live for God. The Bible said, he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, God will not hear him. But no matter how much you preach to people, they're going to be religious and they're going right on doing the things of the world. And the reason for this is because they love the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there, folks. Let me tell you tonight, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Now, I know we don't like to accept this, but nevertheless, it's true. Remember this, the Bible said that God gave his son Jesus to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, we don't like to look around us and say this world that's around us is evil, do we? We like to think about this wonderful, beautiful, luscious world. But the Bible said God gave his son to deliver us from this present evil world. And he said to you and I to come out of this world and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. Is that what the Lord said? So then, there's people that are religious. I preach all over the world. And everywhere I go, I find people that are greatly religious. They're very religious. But they don't have God. They don't have God. See, it's like Jesus gave the parable one time. He was preaching. And he said the sower went out to sow. And said when the sower went out to sow, he began to sow the seed, and all of a sudden some of it fell to the wayside. And then he said some of it fell on stony ground. And then he said some of it fell over here among thorns. Then he said some of it fell among good ground. And then afterwards the disciples said, what is this? What is this parable that you're speaking of? And Jesus said, well, this that fell on by the wayside, he said, I said that the fowls came and devoured this when it fell by the wayside. He said, this is people that when they hear the word of God, they don't understand the word of God. And immediately the evil spirits of Lucifer or Satan said they come along. These spirits are the devil and devours the word and takes the word away from them because they don't understand what's being said. See, the Bible says, and the wicked shall not understand. The righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. For the Bible said, if this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. For the Bible said, Satan, even the god of this world, Lucifer, hath blinded the eyes of the children of this world. Even they that be of this world, even the eyes of their understanding, that they should not see. Lest at any time they should see, convert in their hearts, and God should heal them. See, and so Jesus said, and these are they by the wayside, that they hear this word and they don't understand. Said, because the wicked one comes and catches away the word of God. And he said, these that fell on stony ground. He said, these are people that hear the word of God. He said, and anon with joy. He said, they receive the word of God. They're glad to get the word of God. And they just rejoice over the word of God. He said, but there's no deepness of earth. So they come up real quick. They just flare up and they have a good time as to seemingly being a real Christian. And they just rejoice over the word of God. And they make a big fuss over it and they get right in there with you. He said, but they have no deepness of earth as to roots. And when the sun comes up, all of a sudden he said it's scorched and it's just withered away because it has no deepness of earth as to taking roots. He said, this is a stony heart. It doesn't take roots. He said, and by and by these people are offended because of the word. He said, something comes up and they're offended. Something offends them because of the word. That is to say, they receive the word of God. But some little something comes up that offends them because of the word of God, or it doesn't set well with them in their life, and they can't make their way fit with the things that they want to do, and they just lay the word of God aside. Then he said, and they that, as to the seed that fell among the thorns, he said, this is people that received the word of God. They received the word of God, he said, but the cares of this life soon chokes the word of God. They receive the word of God, he said, but the cares of life, they get carried away with all the things of the world. They've got their mind on so many things as to the cares of life, as to education, as to position, as to making money, as to building, as to buying, as to selling, as to going, as to the frolics of the world, as to participation of the world, whatever it might be in the world, as to obtaining careers in the world, whatever it might be. He said the cares of life just literally wrap them up. He said, and it chokes them. And he said, in the deceitfulness of riches, yearning after riches, or that is to say, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. But after a while, the riches of the world gets a hold of them and the glitter and the glamour of the world. And said, and then it chokes them and they become unfruitful and they don't bring forth any fruit to perfection. And these are they, he said, that fell among the thorns. He said, and they don't bring forth any fruit to perfection. And then he said, and then there are others, he said, as these that, as to the seed that fell into the good ground. He said, and this seed that fell into the good ground, he said, it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and then he said, some brought forth 100-fold. He said, this is the people that receive this in a good heart. He said, in a good heart they receive this. And they go forth to serve the Lord to the best of their ability. And said, some of them don't bring forth as much fruit as others. Maybe some of them doesn't bring forth 60-fold, but they do bring forth 30-fold. And then said, some of them are more diligent in their worship and consecration to God. And he said, some of them bring forth more than 60-fold, and they bring forth 100-fold. And these are they that bring forth 100-fold. As we say, going on to a full reward, or to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then he spoke of this, speaking of the parable, and he said, the disciples asked him, said, Lord, said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables? Said, seeing that they understand not what you say. Said, these people don't know what you're saying. And again, you wonder how it was that they knew that he was speaking in parables. You know, you say, well, how do you know that he was speaking to them in parables? See, they apparently had some kind of insight to know that he was speaking to these people in parables. But he said unto them, he said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries. I spoke of this last night. It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, for seeing they shall not see, and hearing they shall not hear. For having eyes they see not, and having ears they hear not. Now it is given unto them to hear the gospel. For every creature must hear the gospel to be guilty before God in the day of the judgment. But as to hear and understand, they do not hear, as to hearing the truth. And to see and understand, they cannot see, because having eyes, as to having eyes of God, they do not see. and having ears as to hear the real gospel of Christ, they do not understand. He said, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So he expounded the mysteries to them. That's the way it is with us. See, the gospel goes out to the world, all around the world. And when the gospel is gone into all the world for a witness, and when the gospel is gone to every creature, then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. And the gospel is just about gone to every creature by means of satellite and whatever it might be. It's just about gone to every creature. So then when the gospel is gone into the world, all the world for witness, then shall the end come. See, and it is with you and I that we understand, because we're Christians. We understand the mysteries. How do we understand the mysteries? The same way that they did. The reason they could understand the mysteries and the people without could not understand the mysteries is because they had Jesus right there to expound them. Just as quick as there was a parable, Jesus would break down the parable and he would say, this is what the parable means. And folks, we've got Christ on the inside of our heart. And just as quick as the word comes forth, the great Holy Spirit on the inside breaks it down and makes us to know the mysteries. He expounds the mysteries to us and he takes back the veil. The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That you, if you don't have the spirit of revelation, ask God to give you the spirit of revelation. That you may have this wonderful spirit of revealing. That God may make you to understand. And so then we have the wonderful Spirit of Christ on the inside, the wonderful Spirit of revelation. I myself have received many revelations. Paul spoke of his great revelation from God. You know, years ago, I couldn't understand what he was talking about. When he talked about the great revelation of the Lord Jesus, I thought, well, I just don't know what you're talking about, Paul. In my real young ministry, I thought, I just don't know what you're talking about, the revelation. What do you mean, the revelation? And I was reading the book of Revelation. I couldn't understand what John was saying. But as the years went on and I got acquainted with God, all of a sudden I went away with God. And one day I got away with God and God began to open my heart. And my mind went out into the great, wonderful heavenlies. And suddenly God began to unveil things to me and I was so shook up and I was so astounded. I thought, my God, why in the world does the church world run after the things of the world? Why is it that the church world is so carried away with social parties and all the things of the world and sports and all these kind of things? My God, no wonder they're carried away with it. It's because they blinded themselves to the wonderful things of God. If they could enter in one time to the heavenly things of God, why, they wouldn't even spit on those kind of things, folks. And I don't mean that sacrilegious either. I'm telling you the truth from the bottom of my heart. When I entered into those things, you know, when I come up as a boy, I was after those things too. My daddy participated in those things, and I got into those things, and I liked those things, and I thought that was the very thing. But when I got into the mind of God and the revelation of God, and I saw the super things in God, and I saw the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and these great mysteries unfold, I thought, my God, another world. This is so wonderful. It's no wonder the youth goes crazy after dope and after trips and all these kind of things. It's because they've never got into reality, and they're bored with the world, with all the things they got out in the world. You know, you would think with all the sports that they've got, with all the frolics they've got, the hard rock, the rock and roll, and all this kind of things, you'd say, well, surely the children must be satisfied. But they're not. With all of this thing that they've got, they're still running after dope and all kind of pills, whatever, still they're not satisfied with all the world. They've got to hallucinate and get into all this kind of thing. But folks, let me tell you something. This satisfies. Like Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, He said to her, he said, woman, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you water to drink that you'd have never been thirsty anymore. Never. I would have given you living water. And I got a hold of some of that living water. And you know what? This water satisfies. I mean, it satisfies. And when I went into the wonderful revelation of God, since that time, this is the truth before the living God, my soul has been satisfied. My soul has been satisfied. I'd done just like all preachers. I'd done just like all church members. I had prayed. I had sought God. I'd preached for numbers of years. I'd preached in churches. We'd had some wonderful revivals. We'd had healings. And I thought everything was just wonderful and kosher. And I thought, God, this is wonderful. I'm doing everything everybody else is doing. I'm satisfied. But down in my soul, I wasn't satisfied, folks. I wasn't satisfied, though I fasted. I fasted like others did. I studied. I've said this so many times. I'd read this Bible over and over. I'd read that New Testament through on my knees, and I thought, I'm satisfied, but I wasn't. But one day when God got into my heart and He done me like Paul the Apostle and He took me away in the Spirit and He began to show me those heavenly things and I got into the revelation of Jesus Christ, since that time I've been satisfied. My soul is satisfied, and since that time, this is the truth before the living God. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and I'd be no exception. But since that time, I've received hundreds and multiplied hundreds of great, wonderful revelations from God. I'm speaking of the deep, 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 wonderful mysteries of Jesus Christ. They satisfy. And even though I come to a meeting like this and I just simply exhort a little bit and I talk a little bit about faith and I try to encourage your faith and encourage the people that come to listen to repentance and try to tell them the love of God and try to encourage them to go on with the Lord to grow in the grace and knowledge, or pray that God will grant unto them the spirit of revelation, really and truly down in my soul is magnified in Christ because of the deep, wonderful mysteries of God. And then I think about the youth out yonder. If that youth out there, if I could have them for just about 3 days and get them sobered up for about 3 days and get the veil off of their minds and let them look into the things that we've found, they'd never spit on the world anymore as to look in that direction. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, you're just saying that. I'm not just saying that. That's the truth, so help me God. They've never even spit on the world anymore. That's how much difference it is. When Paul got up into the revelation of Almighty God and he looked back, he said, folks, don't be entangled again with the beggarly elements of the world. The beggarly elements of the world. These things in the world with all of its glitter and glamour is nothing but beggarly elements. I had a lot of opportunities in the world, a lot of chance with the glitter and the glamour, and I mean with the high places. But when I saw the things that God showed me, I turned away from those things, and folks, I wouldn't spit on them. That's how low they are in comparison to what I saw. So I thank God tonight for His opportunity just to be able to witness for Christ, to preach this wonderful gospel and tell the people about the love of God. So Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So then the question arises tonight, can you believe? It's to let whosoever will. But can you believe? Are you sincere tonight? Did you come to look for Jesus? Is it in your heart to search for the real God of heaven and the real things of heaven? Are you just going through life, just idly through life and just floundering around? Or are you really genuinely searching for truth and looking for truth? The Bible speaks of having a love for the truth. For if you have not a love for the truth, the Bible said God will turn you over to reprobate mind, send you strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie and be damned. You know, but if you really love the truth, there's no way you can lose out. There's no way that you can stumble and falter and not make it into the kingdom. Now, you might stumble even as a person that loved the Lord, but the Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. God will help him no matter what happened. But folks, if you don't have a love for the truth, then God will send you strong delusions and let you just believe anything. Any kind of wind of doctrine will take you any place and you'll just wind up in a terrible, terrible mess. You love the Lord? Do you love the truth? How have you got a love for the truth? Let me see your hand. I believe you really have. I've watched you last night and I've watched you tonight as these few minutes that I've exhorted you. And I believe you really do have a love for the truth. I believe that you're really searching for the truth. Here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, I believe you have a love for the truth. And you know what? This might be strange. And of course, I say this, maybe I ought not to even say it. But as it was with Paul, he said, I went up to conference with Peter by revelation. But we're here in Las Vegas by revelation. We've moved for numbers of years by revelation. And we're here in Las Vegas by revelation. See, we're not here by chance. Even though the Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I could go anywhere at any time. And we do. We travel all over the world. But I was just telling somebody today, explain just a little bit of revelation why we're here in this place called Las Vegas. But we're here by revelation, not just by chance. Seeing something is happening, and even you being here, there is a reason for you being here tonight and me being here tonight. So then it's a thrill to me to be here tonight. Because I want to be right in the middle of God's will, right in the center of God's will. And something wonderful and great's happening, and I'm a little part of it, and this is what makes me happy. I want you to stand with me now. I've not kept you very long tonight. I didn't keep you very long last night. We just came just to exhort you just a little bit as we go along here for 2 or 3 days to try to encourage your faith and to let you know that if you can believe in God, these things that we say unto you, they're from the Lord. And when we preach the word to you, if you can believe the word, if you can have a hunger to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, if you can stir yourself up, David spoke of a stir up his pure mind toward Christ Jesus. And if you can stir up yourself in the Lord to move on in Christ Jesus, to really do something for God, it would be wonderful, folks. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, God isn't going to hear us. But if we'll do what God wants us to do, we can be great and mighty people. Think about this tonight. Remember this one thing. As a human being, just as a human being, don't be offended at me now. Just as a human being, whether young or old, it doesn't make any difference. Whether rich or poor, whether we're educated or not educated. As a human being, we're nothing. We're nothing. It doesn't matter what position we hold in life. It doesn't matter how learned we are. It doesn't matter how much money we have. You know, we go out and buy things and we own things and all kinds of things. I've been blessed myself to own ships and planes and all kind of wealth in the world. God's given it to me. His blessings make us rich. We use it in the work of the Lord. You know? But think it over. Like Solomon, he was exceedingly rich, very wise. But Solomon said, should I leave these things? Who would I leave them to? Maybe a fool? And then, of course, whose would they be? Would I leave them to a fool? Who knows what would lead him to a fool? And sure enough, his son was foolish when he left him to his son Rehoboam. He lost 10 tribes out of 12 just at one time as to the wealth of the kingdom. See, by wisdom, I've gotten all these things. And you buy all these things. You buy a beautiful home. You put money in the bank. You get fame and popularity. You build yourself a name. You have all planes and boats and all these kind of things. But do you really own them? Not really. Not really. First of all, IRS is on your trail and everything else is on your trail. And all you do is get a lot of responsibility and upkeep and a lot of cost. Trying to keep pace with the world. But the thing is, do you own it even if you can keep pace with the world? Sure don't. You know, either it leaves you or after a while you leave it. See, so being a human being, you don't amount to anything. That's sad, isn't it? Life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. It vanisheth away. I see the youth rocking and rolling. Thousands of them going after the things of the world and winding up in prison. Go down to the insane asylum to visit with them. Go into the prison, have services with them. Meet them along the streets. Some of them's done lost their minds and nerves is gone. Their health is gone. Just young folks go down on Skid Row and preach to the people that's drunkards. I'm talking about lawyers and judges and all kind of people from the upper echelon. Rich people down there, their nerves are shot and their minds are gone. Overnight, that quick, gone. You know, it's very, very sad. Go to hospitals and find them like that. Because a man doesn't amount to much. A woman doesn't amount to much. There's not much to you. When you're young, you think there's a whole lot to it. But life goes by real fast, folks, real fast. Swifter than a shuttle. But did you know that you was born to be great? You was born to be mighty. You was born not to die. Death is the enemy of God. It didn't come by God. It came by man's foolishness. And God didn't intend, He didn't intend for you to die. It wasn't God's plan. God never intended for you to die. See, God, and I hope you don't get offended, God intended for you to live forever, eternally. God intended for you just to be a mere man or woman. That wasn't His plan. Someone would say, well, what did God intend for me to be, Brother Pike? Don't get offended. He intended for you to be a God. A God? Oh, yes. He intended for you to be a God, not a human being. You remember when Jesus was talking to them? And they took up stones and they wanted to stone him. And Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? They said, for a good work. Opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the deaf ears, making the lame to walk. For a good work, we don't stone you. He said, but you being a man, make yourself God. For this we stone you. He said he was the Son of God. And he said, is it not written in the Scriptures, I have called ye gods? Think about that. And I said, now wait a minute. Where in the Scriptures is it written that you call me a God? And I had to go check up on that. So I went back. There can't be any Scriptures except the old scrolls in the Old Testament. And I went back and checked very thoroughly. And sure enough, in the book of Psalms, it is written as the Spirit spoke and said, ye are gods. God said, ye are gods. Said, but ye shall die like men from the lack of knowing that. Ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. Someone said, well, you couldn't die, Brother Pike, if you was a God. Jesus stood on the mountain, was glorified. His face shined like the sun. The Bible said his raiment become as the light. And yet he come down out of glory with Moses and Elijah and died like a man there at Calvary. Folks, let me tell you. Jesus wants us to be a God. I say to you tonight, I say, are you a son of God? What would you say? If I say to you, are you a daughter of the Lord? What would you say? See, the Bible said that which is born of God, that which is born of God is spirit. Isn't that what the Bible said? And Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. And the Bible said Adam was the Son of God. And I ask you the question, I say, have you been born again? And what would you say? I would ask you, I would say, everyone here that's been born again, would you raise your hand? Jesus said, unless you've been born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. I've been born again. Okay, if you say you've been born again, then what would that make you? A son of God? If you be a son of God, what would that make you? It would make you a God. If you could use the terms, of course you couldn't use a term with an elephant or a dog, but let's just say we use the term. If he was a son of an elephant, what would you be? And if he was a son of a dog, what would you be? Come on, folks. And if he was a son of a human being, what would you be? And if he's a son of God, what would you be? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then dogs begat dogs and cat begat cats and God begat gods. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so that makes us what we are. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? So then, as I said, he wants us to be gods. And that's why you live forever. You pass from death unto life. And that makes you a God. You know what a God is? God is something that can't die. You know, people die. Things pass away. But a God is here in this generation. He's here in the next generation. He's here in the next generation because a God is something that can't die. That's what a God is. It lives on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. You know, that's what makes you rich. You know, I have eternal life. Come on in, folks. I have eternal life. Somebody said, well, how am I going to own everything? Well, like me, I have eternal life. And everybody that don't, they're going to pass off the scene. I'm going to own everything they got. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together here. Let's sing I Love Him. We sang this chorus last night, Brother Taylor. Give me another key. I love him. Can you sing with me? I love him.
All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. So I love him. Sing it with me now. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in this book, it is thine. Somebody say hallelujah. While we're singing together, we're going to open the altars here and give you a chance to come down like you did last night. Can't raise this mic up very loud because it starts hollering the way these speakers are set in here, so we just have to kind of keep it low. Can't holler at you much like a preacher likes to do. But anyway, we'll talk to you a little bit and see if you can come to the altar tonight. The main thing is that the anointing be here. The Bible says if the anointing's here, it'll break the yoke. And I've already felt the anointing moving, and I felt the yoke broken. I felt it was here last night. I felt God here. I felt the yoke broken. I felt the Spirit of God moving in and out the hearts and the windows of your soul. And that's the main thing, folks. If you feel like being a God tonight, I'd like to invite you to come up into heaven. John saw the door open and a voice said, "Come up hither." And he moved up into heaven, into the place where God was. And Paul said, "Such a one as I knew," he was caught up into the third heaven. And then when Enoch went away, he was up into the heavens. And then when Elijah went away and Moses went away, Jesus found him up in glory. And the Bible speaks of the church. One of these days, they're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And they're going away, and we're going to find them up in glory. So then, why not tonight, as the song said? Why not tonight? Why not just come on in and let God translate us into the marvelous kingdom of God? The Bible said the law and the prophets until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and by faith in God, you can be translated into that marvelous realm of glory. Tonight, God can translate you by faith into glory, and you can pass from death unto life. How many of you like to get right into the kingdom of God tonight? Tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight. Wouldn't you like to go into the kingdom of God tonight? By faith in God, you can be translated into the kingdom of God tonight and pass from death unto life tonight and have eternal life tonight. Jesus said, "They that have heard my words to believe on him that sent me, they have passed from death unto life." Not going to now. They've already passed from death unto life. And their angelic being on the inside has already moved into that wonderful kingdom of God, and they're sealed on the inside. And I know you complain a lot of times about the devil. You know, you talk about the devil beating your brains out, but did you know the Bible said he that is born of God, that he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not? Did you know a child of God, the devil ain't never touched him one time? You know, say, oh my God, look at all these things I've done. And God, look at the way I've stumbled. But did you know that during all of this time that the devil ain't never touched a Christian one time? And did you know that when God comes back, he's coming back after church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, that the devil never has touched them one time during all of these problems? I know we mourn, you know, and we whine before God, and we talk about all these spots and blemishes. But folks, let me tell you, the church don't have any spots and blemishes. Somebody say hallelujah. I said the Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Have we got any sanctified folks? Said, and he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. I said, have we got any sanctified folks? And the Bible said, by the faith which is in Jesus Christ, he hath sanctified us once and for all, and he hath made perfect forever them that are sanctified. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Got anybody that feels perfect tonight? Come on, folks. Not only that, but the Bible said he hath justified us. He hath justified us by faith. And the Bible said he hath predestinated us. Predetermine our destiny, and he hath predestinated us. And the Bible said when Paul was preaching, as many as were foreordained unto eternal life believed. Isn't that right? And he hath predestinated us unto life. Are you listening to me? And the Bible said he hath also glorified us. I said he's also glorified us. The Bible said he's also glorified us, and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of the redemption of this body, and the evil one never touches us. Did you know the devil has never at any time touched a Christian as to their inter-sanctified angelic spirit? Did you know that you are a child of light, and light and darkness hath no fellowship? Have you ever tried to mix a candle with darkness? Light a candle and try to mix it with darkness. Turn on a flashlight and try to mix it with darkness. Turn on a bulb and try to mix it with darkness and see how much mixture you can get. Did you know that darkness can't get near light? And folks, you are sealed with light on the inside. The devil has never touched you. If you got the Holy Spirit on the inside, the devil ain't never touched you. He might, the old saying, you know, sticks and stones may beat on my bones, but words won't never harm me. Did you know that the devil may come against you and say all kind of things, and he may accuse you in your own mind, but on the inside you can dance like David of old. Hallelujah. You can dance like David of old, and you can feel the glory of God on the inside, and the Spirit of God just jumping up and down and hallelujahs rolling in your soul, and you can feel the victory because you're just as clean and you're just as secure as a little baby in a mother's arm. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, folks. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know how I feel? When Mary got near that babe on the inside of that womb, that little baby just began to jump up and down. Hallelujah. Began to jump up and down. She could feel it leaping in the womb because the Holy Spirit was moving on the inside. I can feel that little baby just jumping up and down on the inside. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, and I can feel him. He's just as holy and pure, and the devil ain't never touched him one time. Let's give him another hand. Come on, folks. All right, so we're going to sing again and give you a chance to come down to the altar. Why don't all of us come down to the altar tonight? Last night, everybody just came down to the altar. Why not just come down to the altar tonight? I think that would be real good. You know, the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Isn't that right? We're going to sing that little chorus we sang last night, I will praise him. Can we sing that? Die. Will praise him, my will praise him, praise. the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Once again, sing it with me now. And I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Think about it now. Think about standing before God. Won't be long now. Everything is shaping up. And we're going to stand before God. All of us are going to stand before God. Can you think about that? Think about it. Think about it. Think about this generation. The way that this generation of people are doing. I'm talking about old and young alike. Think about this generation standing before God. Think about the past generation standing before God. Think about where people's minds are right now. And they've got to stand before God. All of them got to stand before God. And the Bible said, give an account to God for everything that we've done as to the deeds that we've done in our body in this present world. Think about that. All of us are going to have to stand before God. And here we are tonight. The Bible said, in judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And the Bible said concerning the minister, whosoever sinned that the minister remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sinned that the minister retains shall be retained. And the Bible said, whatever he binds on earth shall be bound, and whatever he looses on earth shall be loosed. Whoever he blesses will be blessed, and whoever he curses will be cursed. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing it with me? Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. One more time together. Lift your hands up now and let's worship the Lord. I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Father, in the wonderful delivering name of your Son tonight, move by your Spirit tonight and bless, Father. Father, to heal and to save, to break every yoke. Father, you said you'd give us the desires of our heart. And dear God, we're expecting it tonight. We believe it tonight. We believe that you're going to do it in Jesus' precious name. Father, move by your power, by your blessings, by your glory tonight. God, to do it tonight because we love you, Jesus. And we believe tonight. Hallelujah. Grant it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant it. Hallelujah. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Father, let it be in the wonderful name of Jesus. Grant it in Jesus' precious, wonderful name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless this sister tonight. May the great, loving Holy Spirit, Father, come down tonight. Oh, God, and touch that babe inside of the heart tonight. God, and let the Spirit of the Lord move within this heart. God, we feel the quickening of thy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yea, and I say unto thee that if thou shalt walk in the pathways of righteousness, if thou shalt set thine heart upon God, if thou shalt believe with all of thine heart, I shall give thee a visitation, and thou shalt see that which thou desirest to see. And the Lord shall visit with thee, and show thee the right things in life, and the right way to go. And thine heart shall be made to overflow with the joy of the Lord, and thou shalt find the reality of serving Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. Don't you feel the presence of God? Let's sing that little chorus once again. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes tonight and worship the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel He wants to heal and save. And I feel He wants to speak to you tonight. God wants to speak to you tonight. The Lord just loves to communicate with you. And He'd like to speak to you tonight because God would like to do something for you. Lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight. And let's just talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again. And I